Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelo
and Sophie Kessler. Welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. We are so excited to have you here. And even more exciting, Dan is out on this episode. But instead, I have a really, really special guest who you are all just going to fall in absolute love with. Her name is Evan Rose, and she is an incredible love and dating expert. So she's going to be diving in, really touching on some of the dating tips, understanding how dating works, especially for those high achieving women out there, and really talking to you more so about her philosophy of empowered dating. So thank you, Evan, for coming on today.
Thanks for having me. So excited to dive in with you.
Yeah. And I know, especially from a lot of the content that you've been posting on your social platforms, because obviously I'm in your circle, you talk a lot around, for especially as high achieving women, some of the biggest challenges that we have. I'd love to learn just from you, and to get our listeners familiar with you, what kind of got you into wanting to explore being more of an empowerment dating coach?
Sure. I mean, initially it was just my own journey, as I think a lot of us coaches can relate to. It was, for me personally, going through years of feeling really frustrated, really disempowered, really like I was in the backseat of my own dating life, just being kind of dragged along for the ride and crossing my fingers and hoping it would get better. And finally, it was when I got into the coaching world, first just as a general life coach, I focused in on this niche, and I had all of these realizations just around how much power we have, how much control we have over our own experiences. And so applying all of that to my own love life first was kind of what initially launched me into wanting to share this message and literally spread the love.
Love it. So good. And speaking to the women that you work with, what are some of the biggest challenges or the biggest frustrations for the women that come to you really seeking support in their love lives?
Yeah. So we'll touch on, like you mentioned, this, the high achieving women, the business babes, entrepreneurs. One of the kind of biggest challenges I see is that women feel like they're really in control at this point in their lives, of their careers, of their health and fitness and their friendships. And it's like, they're just checking all the stuff off their list, hustling, you know, feeling super accomplished. And then there's just all of this confusion when it comes to modern dating, when it comes to creating healthy, fulfilling relationships. And a lot of that stems from us trying to approach our love lives from that same base, that same masculine energy, that same kind of goal-crushing mindset that has worked so well for us in other areas of our lives and just doesn't translate into connecting with people and having those really fulfilling, exciting, sexy love lives that we all deserve.
I so get this one. On a deep level, especially for a lot of the business babes, like you were mentioning, who, like, we run our own businesses and we have our own companies and we're so used to saying, this is the way it's going to go and I'm going to make it happen. And to not be able to say that in your dating life is a little weird.
It is. And even that just made me think of in our businesses where we're setting, we have ideas of our timelines too, right? We're like, I want to hit this number by this date, and learning how to surrender some of that control, especially control over the timing, because we have to recognize there's another person involved in our love lives, or probably multiple people, you know, at some point. It's a big shift that a lot of women find either challenging or just have no clue what that looks like or how to go about that.
Yeah. I know for me specifically, and I'm sure for a lot of the other women that I've connected with, or some of my entrepreneurial friends, we'll have the conversation of just feeling like we don't have time for all of this. We're so busy running the business and taking care of ourselves and trying to have friendships and trying to do all of the things that it almost just like, it would be nice to have somebody, but at the same time, it feels like it takes so much effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I feel that big time too, personally. You know, one of the things I'd say there is it can be helpful to kind of zoom out and imagine, because we get so bogged down in our day-to-day or what we're trying to create this month or this quarter or this year. And so kind of zooming out and thinking like, where do I want to be in my life as a whole in a couple of years or even farther down the line? Do I really see a partner and potentially a family there? And if so, if that's really important to me, if I really feel like that's a huge part of what's going to make my life fulfilling, then it's so worth figuring out how we carve out the time, yeah. Right? And also recognizing, to your point, sure, there is effort involved, but there's also play involved and there's passion involved and there's all of this good stuff that I think we tend to forget can come along with dating.
Right? Yep. I love it. It kind of brings up a really important point. Dan and I were talking about this in the previous episode. It's almost like as entrepreneurs, we look at dating like part of a business. Mm-hmm. We show up with like a very specific prerogative and it's almost like an interview where we're like, all right, who is this person? Are they qualified? Am I interested? If not, we totally just shut off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is spot on. That's spot on. I mean, I can't tell you the number of women I get on the phone with who say my dates feel like job interviews, or it just feels like an extension of my workday. And man, when that's the intention or the energy that we're bringing to the table, we can't really be surprised when we don't feel really intrigued by someone or like someone brings out the best in us, because it's a different part of ourselves that we're showing up with that's not serving us.
Yeah. I'm curious for you, in really working with the women that you work with, how is it that, because again, I think one of the biggest challenges that myself and a lot of my entrepreneurial friends have is, where the hell do you find these high quality men that you actually want to date?
Yeah, sure. I mean, one thing I'll say about that is that we can find them literally anywhere. So there's not some huge secret. I wish that I was like, you know, you just go to the corner of, there's some like underground secret society where they all live. The fact is they're at the grocery store, they're at the coffee shop, they're on the apps. I know some of you may not believe me, but I swear I've met them. Clients have met them. Listen, if people like us are on the apps and our friends, then doesn't it make sense that they're going to be men or whoever you're looking for of the same caliber, we'll say, who are also using these platforms? And then you could also think about, okay, what are the spaces that the kind of people I'm looking to connect with would hang out in? So if you're looking for someone who really has a spiritual component, where are those meditation centers or those workshops, right? Like, where are those places where that person, in the same way that, Sophie, we think about our ideal client, right? <Yeah. laughs> I know that we can't totally equate dating to business, but there is some overlap. So yeah, really thinking about like, where would that person hang out? And am I creating opportunities for myself to meet and connect with those people?
Yeah, huge. I think where a lot of us kind of get hung up is, it's kind of like, how do you even, like, it sounds funny to say it, but like, how do you even date, right? It's kind of like, this is such an awkward, like, hi, this is me, this is my name, this is what I do. Do you want to like, where do we go from here?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think one thing that really helps with that is taking the pressure off of thinking that when you meet someone, you have to kind of know how you're going to date them, like what the whole trajectory of that will be, right? As opposed to just really looking at staying present in the moment and looking at this as an isolated meeting, whether that's a first date, whether that's connecting with someone at an event or at a party, and just more thinking of it as like, getting curious about this person, sharing little bits and pieces of yourself, exploring if there's a vibe there, and kind of taking the pressure off of needing to make a major assessment or check off all the boxes or decide if this person can fit into your life or if they're going to be someone you'd want to marry or have kids with. Like, we get so far ahead of ourselves. And I think that's what can really make the whole dating thing seem so overwhelming.
Yep. Uh-huh. Guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things too, where it's kind of like, again, it's learning how to step out of that like business oriented, let me plan out the rest of the year and look at what I'm projecting is going to happen here and then figure out how I can make that happen. Versus kind of just letting it flow.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think one huge kind of mindset piece here that's really helpful is that letting it flow doesn't necessarily mean taking a back seat, right? It doesn't mean that we have no control or no power. So I think that's one thing that these high achieving women I tend to work with can get hung up on, is they think, well, I either need to be in full control and have the big picture of where this is going and be the one running the ship, or I have to totally sit back and have it be this old fashioned thing where I just wait for him to call and I don't bother to ask certain questions. And it's like, no, there's a really healthy middle ground where we are more just in this explorative mode, taking it one date at a time, doing our best to reel in our thinking when we catch ourselves kind of future tripping, and also asking the questions we want to ask and being a co-creator of this experience with this person. So it's both active without being white knuckling the steering wheel.
Got it. Smooth sailing.
Yeah.
Okay. Noted. I'm curious, and I'd love to learn from you or to share with some of our listeners here, because I'm sure we all kind of have this idea in our heads of like this perfect mate and what they're going to look like and how they're going to be and who they're going to show up as. And it's really interesting because it's kind of like, if somebody doesn't fit exactly that tier, or they're maybe off track on one of those things, then we completely just say, nope, not an option.
Yeah.
In regards to like getting clear on what you actually want and the kind of partner that you want to date, how do you work with your clients on figuring out like the types of things that actually matter to them?
Mm-hmm. Such a good question. We go through a few exercises really early on that are super helpful to get that clarity. So those look like getting clear on your core values, which are those components or those qualities that really drive you and that make you feel like, this is where I put my energy. These are the things I focus on so that I feel fulfilled. I feel like my life is meaningful. This is what brings joy to me. So knowing our core values and then making sure that whoever we're meeting either shares a lot of those, or at least that our values are complementary and not in conflict, that's huge. And then we look at attachment styles and love languages. So we take a couple of these frameworks from the psychology world to help us get really clear on, what do I need in a partner? Not want, but first, and we get into wants, obviously desires, preferences matter, but we start with, what do I really need in order to feel safe, in order to feel secure and at ease and at peace and loved, right? So that's kind of the foundation. That's where we want to start, as opposed to starting with, you know, and this was my old MO, so guilty here too, right? But instead of starting with like, okay, he's over 6 feet and he's scruffy and it's like
abs, long hair.
right. It's like, yeah. Those things are lovely if that's what you're into, but we kind of want to start thinking about, what are the qualities and components that actually contribute to my long-term happiness?
Love that. Yeah. I think some heads are turning right now. It's really interesting because I think, again, if we're kind of going back to the apps and like finding these people, it's really hard to decipher values and who somebody is just looking at a picture on Tinder, mm-hmm. right? What kind of tips or advice would you give people who are exploring the dating apps or just exploring meeting people online?
Sure. So first, I would say be intentional about what platforms you're using. Tinder, for example, would not be my recommendation if you're looking for quality dating, long-term relationship potential. Not to say that it can't happen on Tinder, of course. I'm sure we all have that example of like, but these people met on Tinder. Cool. Great. if that's working for you, keep doing it.
Yep.
Otherwise, I really love using platforms that provide more written responses or context mixed in with pictures. Hinge, for example, is a great one where you see one picture and then you get some written info. There are great prompts on there, so you're getting more of a sense of someone's personality before you're scrolling through a million pictures. I encourage women, everyone really, to focus on, what other information are you getting from that profile? Is there something that really made you laugh? Is there something that made you like, oh, we have that in common? That'd be a great conversation starting point. The biggest thing is just that you don't need to know, in order to make a decision on who to swipe on, you don't need to know if that person is an incredible fit for you yet, or if you're going to be compatible, or if you share core values. And let's be real, half those people don't even end up responding to one another, et cetera. So like, let's not put too much weight in that very initial matching process, and let's move as quickly as possible into, having a conversation, ideally over the phone, or my favorite is to do a quick FaceTime, little mini date after messaging a handful of times to see if there's a vibe, to see if we can pick up on either, yes, it's worth carving out a couple of my precious hours this week to meet this person, or you know what? I could tell kind of right away, this isn't a fit, or this person doesn't intrigue me. Great. On to the next.
Hold on. So are you saying that you FaceTime before you spend the time getting ready and going on a date?
Sure do. Sure do. I know.
Wow. Okay.
It's a game changer. It's an incredible way to say, listen, if you tell me that you are too busy to date, first of all, I would ask, again, if you're really wanting a partner, like where would you find the time to have that person in your life? Because if you have time to create, right, experiences with that person, you have time to go on dates. But then, okay, you're already on your phone half the day, right? There's already plenty of times when we're on our phones. And then can you carve out 10 minutes for a FaceTime little meet and greet with some of these people, right? And it's like, it takes the pressure off. It is super quick. And then you feel either more excited about making the time for that person or relieved that you figured it out before putting on pants. Yeah. For those of us who, you know,
don't wear pants.
Yeah. Or no pants.
Love it. Yeah. And I'm curious because I think this is another big thing that comes up for a lot of the women. It's kind of like they feel like how to actually be attractive to men, right? It's kind of like we're so busy with our lives that it's kind of like we would love to have somebody, but we also don't want to feel like we're being needy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because this whole idea of being aloof and super chill and having no needs is attractive. Or I'll say that could attract a very specific type of guy, right? So if you are that person who is at a bar or who started meeting someone and you're playing those games of like, I'm going to be really unavailable intentionally and I'm not going to speak up for my needs and all of that, the kind of person who's going to be into that is someone who's looking for the chase and just looking to play the games. And if you're wanting something that feels, again, connected, meaningful, safe, we have to really let go of the fear around this word needy, right? Like we have needs, we're human beings. Men have needs too. And like, yeah. And we, what's really attractive to men and helps them to like you more and more and eventually love you is letting someone see where we do need them, where we want them and need them and letting them feel like they have a purpose with us and that they're contributing to our lives and that they can feel successful and their own sense of self-worth comes from that place as well. Of like, oh yeah, she asked me to do this for her. She told me why this is important to her or whatever. And I was able to step up and do that. That actually feels really good for men.
Yeah. I remember you doing a video a few months back where you actually interviewed three guys. And you were talking about it from the perspective of, I think it was something along the lines of like making the first move and actually like meeting women. And again, guilty and kind of like seeing somebody really attractive, but like playing the game and waiting. It was really interesting because from what I remember in the video, they were saying that half the time they don't even know when to come.
I'm going to say 95% of the time. Yeah. Yeah, that was a really enlightening interview experience. In my research and reading and all that, of course, I had learned these concepts of that there's a lot of fear of rejection, fear of what their buddies will think if they get turned down in front of people, all of that for men. Mm. But I think like a lot of women, I was like, I don't know if I totally buy that, whatever. And so I interviewed these three guys who were in their 30s, seemingly confident, all good-looking men who, even to me, I would have imagined that they were like easily going up to women out and about and starting conversations. And all three of them were like, nope, terrified. And yeah, they talked about how they really need such an obvious green light from women to approach. You know? And like, we think because let's also remember, and of course I'm generalizing here, but for the most part, women are, we tend to be better at picking up on subtle cues as far as reading body language, and we're just more tuned in emotionally in that way. And so these guys were really validating that like, yeah, if you just kind of make quick eye contact and then look away, we don't know what that means. You know, they were like, you could be looking for your friend or the bartender and just happen to glance. Like, the thought of you just doing that and me walking over and starting a conversation, like, makes me want to throw up.
Mm.
So they really encouraged us to be holding eye contact, smiling. They were like, ideally wave us over or just like come stand next to us or say hi or something, you know, ask us to hold your jacket while you carry drinks over, like initiate, please, in some way. And then we'll take it from there. But we need to know that you're interested.
Please.
Please.
I love it. Yeah. I think this is it's such an eye opener, because so much of the time it's kind of like, well, I don't want to make a fool of myself. Like, he should be coming over here. Mm-hmm. And it's such a role reversal kind of, or just like a mindset shift, in the sense that it's like, oh, I have to be proactive and like actually communicate that I'm interested or that I'm curious or whatever it is.
Right, right. And I think that we can also help ourselves release some of that fear of us putting ourselves out there, and just remembering that it is so flattering to someone, to whether it's to approach them or just to smile or just to say hello. If that person isn't available, let's say that person isn't single or isn't interested for whatever reason, the worst that's going to happen is they're just going to say, you know, oh, thanks, I'm not, or not respond or whatever. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you've given that guy a little boost, right? And you've practiced putting yourself out there. Like, we're going to have to do this continually. I'm not saying the first time you do this necessarily you're going to meet your soulmate.
So close.
So close. Let's all just try as much as we can to take that pressure off of like, I'm doing this to get a certain outcome. And if this doesn't lead to a date, it was a failure, or all of that place our mind goes that really isn't helpful in having a good time with this stuff.
Yeah. I think you're hitting on a huge point. And I think this is kind of, at least my understanding of it, and I'd love to get your perspective. The underlying root when it comes to dating is really us learning how to date ourselves first.
Yes.
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 Really learning how to like love ourselves and feel confident in who we are, regardless of whether or not we're in a relationship, and that reflecting in our dating lives.
Oh my gosh. Spot on. Spot on. I mean, when you were asking Sophie, what is so attractive to men, especially around this idea of needs or neediness, that foundation of self-love, of self-acceptance, that we need to be affirming ourselves, taking care of ourselves, really knowing that like we're good, whether or not there's someone in our lives at any given moment, when that's the foundation, and then we are voicing our needs on top of that, then it's not that needy, desperate thing, right? What turns people off is when we express our needs in a way that's like, I need you to do these things so that I feel okay, and so that I feel okay about myself. And if you don't, I'm going to spiral, right? Like, that's what is a turnoff to people, because no one really wants or should have the responsibility of making someone else feel happy or feel okay or feel confident or feel safe. We have to first do that for ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. Oh, such a gold mine.
I know. Well, and it's also so, to me, that's part of what's so empowering about this approach is like, who's the only person we have really control over? Ourselves, right? So if we can start kind of putting into practice, and it is a practice, there are actionable ways that we love on ourselves and all of that. It's not just this like big mystery thing of like, self-love, I think, can feel really, really overwhelming for a lot of people. Like, what does that even mean? And do you just have it or not? And, you know, so the more that we can really take responsibility for like, I'm learning how to do that and putting it into practice every day, the more that we set ourselves up to create really beautiful love lives with ourselves and with our dates and our eventual romantic partners.
Love it. Oh, so good. And I think just an affirmation to all the other women that are listening out there, it's important to remember that self-love doesn't mean you just look like a 10 or like a Victoria's Secret supermodel, but it's regardless of your physical appearance that you just love yourself and who you are as a human. And that's my interpretation of it, of you being attractive, regardless of, again, how small you are, how tiny you are, how fit you are.
Totally. And you know, that just made me think of another, one of the questions I asked the guys in that same interview was around what's attractive to them, like who are they most likely to approach at a bar? And they all agreed with me that it is not the most quote unquote attractive, just physically appearance wise woman.
Mm.
One thing they said that I loved was that all three of them, when they go out together, are interested in different people.
Mm-hmm.
They all find different women attractive, which is like, duh, but also a good reminder that not everyone's going for the same type. But they also said, actually, the most attractive thing to them was when a woman seems warm and open and receptive, approachable, open to connecting. And a lot of that comes from that place of like, if I can feel comfortable in my own skin, regardless of where my weight is this month, because we're always changing, you know, we have to try to detach from those like external factors as much as we can. If we're out and about and we are giving ourselves that love, feeling comfortable with wherever we are in the moment, giving ourselves that affirmation that like we are accepting ourselves with all of our imperfections, all of our flaws, all of our stuff, because we've all got it. And then intentionally really opening up and even like literally body language, right? That is what's so magnetizing.
Yeah. I love what you brought up here too. And just the sense of it, it's kind of like the chicken or the egg, right? We want to be more attractive to men, but in order to be more attractive to men, we must first love ourselves be more receiving of it. Because it's kind of like when we go out and we're trying to date or we're trying to find somebody who's going to make us feel better about ourselves. And we're coming from this place of kind of doubting ourselves or feeling insecure or kind of questioning how we are. We're more closed off and then that's less attractive. And then it's just this interesting spiral.
Totally. And then we interpret everything that's happening to us through that lens, right? So like you go out from that place, let's say no one's approaching you, or you approach one guy who happens to be, for whatever reason, not interested or not available. And then you go home and you're like, oh, see, I knew that no one likes me because of all of these reasons. And we just keep like confirming our own untrue fears or our own limiting beliefs about ourselves.
Oh.
Right. And it's that cycle. Yeah. And then we like go to brunch the next day with our girlfriends and we're all complaining about how awful dating is and like just putting more and more energy towards all of that negative stuff. And all of our fears are like growing and growing. And we're like, how do I get out of this place? Yeah.
So have no idea what you're talking about at all. Mimosas and men. It's great. Amazing. Well, it's just been an absolute joy having you on here. And I think, gosh, so many gold nuggets and just really reprogramming or rewiring the way that we think about dating in general. And I'd love to ask, you know, any last bits of information or any big tips that you'd love to give to the babes or even to the men out there listening to this, wanting to know how to actually create a more empowering dating experience for themselves?
Well, one thing I would say is to spend a little time getting clear on what it is that you want and need, right? Like really creating a vision for yourself and not like a physical aesthetic vision, right? But like more of a vision of how you want to feel with someone. And as much as you can, bringing your mind, bringing your heart, bringing your actions into alignment with that, with what it is you want. And again, as much as you can, working on releasing the negativity, that place our mind goes when we think so often about what we don't want, right? All those experiences that we don't want to be having, why the apps are a mess, like all of the horror stories we hear about dating today. We have to, as much as we can, kind of tune that out and just remember that you create your own experience. There are people that are meeting, connecting, starting beautiful relationships every single day. There are quality people out there, men, women, looking for all kinds of people, looking for someone just like you. And it's really in your power to open up to that and to make sure that you're, again, starting with the internal work, like you were saying, the self-love, the mindset, the heart set, but then also taking actionable steps, like carving out that time using online, offline opportunities to connect with people, making sure that you're as committed to this area of your life that is so, so, so meaningful as you are to the business, as you are to your fitness, as you are to your family and friends. It matters and it's worth it.
Oh, so good. And for the women and the men that want to find you, how can they learn more about you? Where can they find you? Where can they stalk you?
Can they date you? All over the place. Yeah, right. That too. Yeah. Instagram. I'm Evin Rose, E-V-I-N Rose. Facebook for my, this is just for my girls specifically, but I've got a Facebook community, Empowered Dating with Evin Rose, where I'm posting tons of daily insight and inspiration and video live trainings and interviews with men. Like you mentioned, find that in there. Would love for you to join. And then I'm sure you'll include any other their contact info, but just feel free. Anyone who feels like you're needing some guidance and support, DM me, reach out to me. I'm here for it.
Love it. Yep. And we'll be sure to post those links for you guys too underneath the video or underneath the audio here.
please let this not be a video.
No, it's not a video. We are not video prepared right now.
Work from home life, man. Glamour. Yeah,
that's great. Awesome. Well, thank you so, so much. And again, the advice, the insights, everything is just so incredible. And it's just so great to hear it, even though I've heard it so many times. It's like, oh yeah, that thing.
Yeah, we need the reminders as many times as we need them until it starts to shift something.
Love it. Well, again, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in. And be sure to check out Evin on Instagram, Facebook. If you are a boss babe, check out her community. I believe it is just for women specifically. And for the men, you can find her on Facebook too. I believe she's still single. So have an absolutely amazing day, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we will see you on the next episode.